I got to get out of here. John Curley and Sherry Alaker show coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times. I'll see you back here tomorrow. I do.
Here we go, the John Curley, Sherry Alaker show. Here she comes. All right, today, Sherry, I have to get you to agree to be in the Memorial Day parade in Easton. I've got you a costume. I sent it to Jacob. I sent it to you. Can't wait to hear your response. Time to get it.
I kind of wondered when I got your message. Yeah. So, am I the bigger one or the smaller one? I'll just ask.
You're the bigger one. You are the bigger one.
I'm the bigger one. Does the little boy come with
us? I will pay to fly you out here.
Okay. Because he's way cuter than the bigger one, that's for sure.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
all right. Something to talk about.
Worried about the air hole, but okay.
Leave it up to the listener. We'll post the picture, put it up online. People can vote yes, they want Sherry in it, in the Easton Parade. All right?
Okay. All right. I'll go with it.
There'll be a big salt lick at the end of the parade for you so you can recover all the sweat. Looks like a hot costume.
Yeah.
All right. Amazon says it will reimburse its staff $4,000 to travel and living costs if they need to go over 100 miles for an abortion or medical care as firm reacts to the bombshell from Roe v. Wade leak. Huh. I'm going to give you $5,000. What was your reaction when you read this?
Well, it's $4,000. It's not just for abortions. It's also for things like cardiology, cellular gene therapy, substance abuse. Mm-hmm. They have put abortion in there, and it's not just for employees. It's also for their dependents, and it includes office workers and warehouse workers. So it's very comprehensive. They did this after hearing that Citigroup, Bumble, Match, Lyft, Uber, Yelp, all of these other companies also put in, not they weren't exactly like this in terms of having a complete, you know, cash amount or whatever, but they have now put in some sort of consideration or accommodation for women seeking abortions outside of their area if they can't get them there. So I think this is going to be a trend. I think that a lot of bigger companies are going to do this as a way to offset what's happening.
I wonder in China what happens if you're a female working in a factory. Well, if you're a female and you're working in a factory, if the government hasn't already aborted your child, the factory will. And then I thought, well, this is very similar in Amazon. Amazon doesn't want pregnant workers. In fact, they are in the middle of being investigated by a bunch of pregnant women that work at Amazon that have brought cases against them because of the labor and industry laws, saying they've gone and complained to their boss they need an easier shift or to lift less or not to have to walk as far, and they weren't accommodating. So there's now a federal investigation into Amazon regarding violations of the women's health that are pregnant. So if I were Amazon and I were like, you know, an evil dictator like these some people try to portray Amazon or many major corporations as, you would see this as, I'll tell you what, we need you to keep working. So here's $4,000. Go get an abortion and come back to work.
Yeah,
and
it
benefits them because it also, the high cost of about 27% of pregnancies, if the female at work, 27 to 29% are unintended. So, and a lot of times then it becomes an additional cost to the employer, having to keep the worker on, having to pay for the additional cost for the medical. Then when the person leaves, they have maternity. And so it's costly. And there are a bunch of women that say there is truly a discrimination that occurs in major corporations. If they know that they are of childbearing age, they said they're less likely to get promoted or hired. Like a ticking time bomb, they're seen as. So this is Amazon basically saying, like back in the slave days on the plantation, we'll abort your baby so you can keep picking cotton.
Yeah, I look at it a little bit differently. I don't see this. If I'm going to take,
I'm, so.
I, If we're going to look at this with a rather cynical view, then I don't necessarily think that it's that Amazon is trying to reduce pregnancies so they can keep the workforce energized. I think it's more virtue signaling, if it's anything, where what they're trying to say is we are pro-woman, we are pro-reproductive health, and we are not going to be in the category of a company that doesn't fall on the right side of this issue. So yeah. That's probably more in line with what their PR people are saying.
I'm pointing that out because you could follow those steps as well. Here's 4,000, abort the baby, come back and get back in line and get back to work. If they really believed in women's choice, it would be, here's 5,000 for the abortion, and also here's $5,000 we'd like to talk to you about carrying the child to term and then putting the child up for adoption. I look to see, are there any corporations that provide that type of service where counseling, support, anything else? I couldn't find anything. It was a fairly quick search that I did. But that would also be, because they always say it's about choice. Well, then what is the choice? It's either abort or keep. But then where's the support for the women that decide to keep the children, right? Where's that? It just seems to be this cliff you just fall off of. Either you do get an abortion, or where's the money for that? So that would be the other part of it. Amazon would say, you know, it's for women that would like abortion or the woman that wants to keep it. And also, isn't it really interesting? A memo must have gone out to all of the wokesters. Stop saying people, even though the CDC and the federal government refers to people getting pregnant. I think what they realize, hey, this is mainstream voters. We've got to talk to the suburban white women that we need to come out and vote for us in November. So we can't keep with this nonsense stuff about people getting pregnant and men getting pregnant. Have you noticed that even Joe Biden referred to a baby and then also referred to women? And I've also heard other politicians that would normally be using the people term are using women. They've all sort of decided, oh my gosh, we have to stop either that, or just they realize how nonsensical it is to use that men can get pregnant and men can have babies.
Yeah, I think people have, I think it got to be too complicated, and to be able to refer to that and continue to refer to it as people or individuals or however they were saying it in generic terms, it got to be a little tiresome because they had to speak.
A little cumbersome because it didn't, because it didn't make any sense.
Because it's exactly wrong. Yeah. So, and also that people jumped all over that. I mean, that then became the distraction, right? So instead of talking about the issue, they were like, so according to so-and-so, who seems to think that men can get pregnant too, blah, 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 blah. So I think that was probably a wise choice as far as making sure that they use the language that more people can relate to.
Yeah. So many people reacting. Let's see. Did you watch Jayapal revealing this is a, she was on with, who was she on with? Everybody. Boy, the cable news is just loving all of this. Here's Jayapal. She was on with, this is your representative, talking about the Supreme Court. She says,
so I can tell you that this is a stunning, stunning rebuke of precedent and of the fundamental freedom that women have to make choices about our own bodies and our own futures and our own economic security. And the thing is, Victor, that these justices are acting like this is somehow something that they have the right to change. They do not have the right to change this, which has been settled law for two generations now, of people who have grown up, who have gone through their 20s in the firm belief that they can make these decisions about their own bodies. The only thing that has changed is the makeup of the Supreme Court. And if they can do this for this issue, Victor, it means that they can ignore precedent for every other issue that we have considered settled law.
But why would they do that? First of all, this is the court they are allowed to overturn. They did it before, you know, with Plessy versus Ferguson. They overturned that. That was separate but equal. Then they went with Brown versus the Board of Education. Everyone's entitled to the same education. They overturned that in 1954. This is what they do. They look at it and they say, you know what? This was ruled poorly, and now we're going to turn it over, flip it back to the states. So they're allowed to do it. And oh, Joy Behar. Oh, my God. Really, Jacob?
What?
I'm not even going to press the button. Hold on.
Don't
Andrew,
press the
can
button.
You get, I know I'm going to press the button, but first, Andrew, can you please put him in the book?
Another entry in the book.
For Jacob, insubordination, having Joy Behar.
Women in the world have conducted sex strikes in history. In 2003, a sex strike helped to end Liberia's brutal civil war. Yes, and the woman who started it was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. Yes. In 2009, Kenyan women enforced a sex ban until political infighting ceased. Within 1 week, there was a stable government. Okay, so we have more power than we think we have, and some of it could be right in the bedroom.
You know, put in a second mark. Well, I'm sorry, show 1 second. Can you put another little mark next to that? Just, you know, mark, double mark for Jacob on that. Not only was Joy Behar, Jay Behar talking about a sex strike.
Just put it in bold, meaning it was really, really, really bad. Yeah, unless you're married to one of the Supreme Court justices, I'm not exactly sure what this sex strike is going to do, Joy. I mean, it's stuff like this that just drags this argument down even further. She's so dumb. Let's all not have sex. There you go. That's always solve stuff.
Oh, my. Listen, it's going to be a state issue now, and so it is. I was looking to see what countries have the least number of abortions. I saw the Netherlands are in there, like 7 out of 1,000. I think Sweden might be included in there, about 7 out of 1,000. And what they say, well, why is it that they have so few abortions? One is they early sex education, plus a lot of contraception. And generally, abortion is seen as a last-ditch effort. It's like your last thing you want to do. It's not the first thing you think of. It's not an alternative to birth control. It is education and birth control and then, you know, an abortion. Rather than, you know, abortion being a form of birth control, over-the-counter, rather than prescription, over-the-counter, like Plan B test, and easier to get Norplant and things like that. So higher distribution of contraception, then less unintended pregnancies, and people just being more responsible about how they are having sex. So that's how you have it in Netherlands, Sweden, Switzerland, Norway, and places like that. So, and
it
Poland, by the way,
sense.
Just a couple of years ago, Poland abortion was completely illegal, absolutely illegal. They just, I think it was 2 years ago or something like that. They said no more, 100%. If you have it, you perform an abortion, you go to jail. The woman, I mean, that was draconian. And then the woman who actually tried, she had like a back alley abortion. It became a big deal. Everybody then heard about it. She died. And then they said, okay, we got to do something about this. So I think they've loosened up a little bit on it. But it was interesting to see how different countries handle this issue of abortion. So at this point, the Supreme Court judges, they haven't said anything about the leak. They're doing the investigation. Some people are saying, yes, do bring charges against somebody because you've actually taken federal documents and, you know, removed them from sort of the circulation that they're supposed to be in. So there might be some charge you could bring against the individual.
But don't you think, John, that one of the fundamental issues that we don't want to talk about is the fact that this is preventable? I mean, and no one really wants to, we're at such odds about the idea of sex education and contraception in this country, you know, that we don't want young people, on one hand, we want them to be knowledgeable, but on the other hand, we think that's giving them permission if we give them too much information or make things too accessible. So the country is in conflict over that subject, I think. And I think if we could get to a more open place about that and make those things more accessible, this problem would be, you know, would be helped a great deal. There's talk now of having birth control pills available without a prescription.
Right.
And so, I mean, those are the kinds of things that could be done, but not everybody has an open mind about that. And we get into a lot of religious conversations and a lot of other problems around it. And it just seems like we're missing the boat. Those other countries have it right. That's the way it should be.
Well, also teenage pregnancies has dropped from a high a couple of years ago in the United States. Teenagers are having less sex, plus they're also getting pregnant less. So I didn't bother to see what the demographic is, the income and age level and anything else of who's getting abortions in the United States. But here we go. This will be the big story for a little while. It's going to go away. And what you're going to see now is Joe Biden. He did it earlier. The president said, these MAGA people, these people are extreme. So what he's going to do is he's going to say, the MAGA people want to take away your rights, the female rights, right? And then also they're going to take away gay rights. So MAGA, so the people that are in the Supreme Court are all under MAGA, right? And these are the extremes. These are the white supremacists. These are the terrorists. These are the horrible people. So they've won this. Now we've got to stop them because they're coming for other stuff. So that's the little piece that Joe put out, I think today or yesterday, about that they're extremes. These people are extremes. These MAGA people are extremes. So this is to get everybody all ginned up and scared as we head into the November election. Did we find out why Nancy Pelosi's in town? Does anybody know the answer to that one, Jacob?
I think she's in town because she's promoting more infrastructure and all of that spending.
Okay. Thank you, Sherry.
I mean, that's what I gathered. Jacob, do you know more than that?
That is the extent of my knowledge as well.
Okay. All right. We all are worried about
We're
it.
All
okay.
We got that. Okay. Keel Mortgage, 1-888-778-KIEL. That's Keel Mortgage. Best at the business, Laura Keel, and everybody there. Can't wait to hear from you. Anything you had to do with that mortgage of yours, it's Keel Mortgage. All right, boy, bad timing on this one, right? Right before we came on the air, Brian Buckaloo calls me up, says no more accents. By the way, Sherry, because of what you had done earlier, it was so upsetting to everybody.
My fault again.
Yeah, and it's weird because I said, well, that's a shame. We're going to do an entire 8 minutes on accents. Yeah, we just can't do accents anymore. So no accents.
Okay, well, they're disappearing according to this article. So
yeah,
they're
disappearing
shape.
According to Brian, too. No accents.
Now, are these any accents? Even,
yes.
Even
yeah.
Like a,
yeah.
You can do a Philadelphia accent, right? That's
no,
not offensive.
He said no accents. Don't accent. No accents. I took a dialect class at Carnegie Mellon. It was the hardest class you had to take. You had to commit at least 40 seconds to text to memory, and then you had to give them three distinct dialects from three different parts of the world, and then they were allowed to yell out from the back of the room, you know, what dialect from which one to which one. So you go from, you know, Warsaw to Bundoran to Texas, no, you know, like the Plains, Texas. So all these different dialects. But apparently dialects can be upsetting to people because they can be stereotypical. So should we do the segment? I guess we should, right? Should we talk about our dialects? Because they're going away, and maybe that's a good thing, Sherry.
Well, it could be. There's a guy that's studying this. He actually has a podcast. It's called Uh-oh. Margins of Error.
And I got him.
That people are exposed probably to more varieties than they used to be because we're just increasingly mobile. So if you look at the difference in number of people that have been on a plane in their lifetime, it's definitely more in 2022 than it was in 1992 or 1972, which means people are able to move around more. Also, people move away from the place that they're born more frequently.
Okay, so people we're not as parochial as we were before. You were exposed to different accents. Your kids move away from Philadelphia, Baltimore, Boston, wherever, go somewhere else, and then they are exposed to more known as the, I think it's called American Standard or whatever that accent is that most broadcasters try to reach for, right?
Yes, and they are finding that there aren't nearly as many regional dialects. For instance, in the U.S., they say there's a range between 3 and 25 regional dialects. I think there's so many more than that just from moving around a little bit. I think that there's lots and lots of dialects. The other reason is they say social media, because we're listening more to people and we tend to, I guess, imitate or, you know, adjust to whatever we're hearing on social media, that that also is diluting these accents somewhat. So these regional dialects are going away, and there's an argument to be made that that's eliminating a very rich history.
Yeah.
That if you've ever met somebody, like if you go to a place like Baltimore and you hear somebody with that deep Baltimore accent.
Hopefully not on a full stomach, because I'll tell you, it could cause some real digestive problems.
It is rough. You know they've got stories, right? I mean, they've been there for a really long time. But if you meet someone that's a transplant, then clearly they're not going to have the accent. I mean, it's kind of common sense. But
I love them. I love accents. You know, you go to Petridge Farm, remember? We used to do that guy all the time. Fred Emerson, does he do bunch of accents?
Toured around this country a lot. I've been all over the place.
You know him from Portland?
All kinds of venues, all kinds of cities, all kinds of states. And everyone speaks a different way. It's kind of the beauty of it. Maine.
Maine?
Maine. You can almost hear England there. Vermont, they hit the T's. The T's are here, Vermont.
Massachusetts, my daughter. Massachusetts, my daughter got married in June. June, it's a kind of bite.
The grossest sound I ever heard, I went to a Christmas. It was a couple days before Christmas. There might have been Christmas Day. I went to a church in Boston because Paula was doing a play in Boston. And the first chord of Hark the Herald Angels Sing. What is the first word of that song? Does anybody know?
Is it not hark?
It is hark. But in Boston, it was hark. The entire church. Hark the Herald Age. Hark. I was like, what the hell? It was the grossest sound in entire church people.
We lived in Massachusetts when I was seven. And the kids said to me one time, do you want to play Stoa? What? And I didn't know what they were. I'm saying store.
Did you go home and play
Stoa? It's sort of a throat bite. Boston, Massachusetts.
And Connecticut, you kind of start to get a little bit of that East Coast, kind of almost New York, but not quite. Connecticut. That's my business, not yours. Yeah, it's just Connecticut.
Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. Yin's go there. Yin's go there to Pittsburgh. And then down to Baltimore, motor oil. I always think motor oil. Baltimore. Motor oil.
Yeah, he's got him, right?
Yeah, yep. He gets to Seattle.
Idaho and Seattle. Seattle is interesting because they present their words on a plate. They present, I am from Seattle. These are the words. Portland is the same thing, but set back a little bit and a little more quiet. So they present the words to you, but they take it back a little bit. No.
I find anything traveling down south in North Carolina or Alabama, it's so rich. Mm-hmm. It sounds like you're. And then if you talk to these guys, like I was at this auction last summer and these guys were from New York City. And it was like I was talking to them and I said to a friend of mine, go over there and talk to those guys. It's like you're in a movie all of a sudden because they were like, you know, talking like this and like that. And like, let me tell you something. This guy's like, he's crazy. He's right. He's like, he's all up into my stuff. And I go, don't you feel like you're in a movie when you're talking to them? Because they sound like they're like after they finish. Listen to this. Are you going to nap? Going to these doors are like so sticky and stuff, right? And then you feel like after they get a napkin, they're going to go whack somebody and put their body in the back of a car. That just sounds like that's where they're going next with whatever they're saying to you.
It's so great. My friend used to have a game where she'd ask, what accent do you want to tell you bad news? Like if you had to find out something really bad, like would you want it to be a Southern accent, a New York accent? You know, I mean, where... What would be the most comforting?
Oh, that's good. Oh, my God. I was driving this truck in New York, and this woman from Massachusetts was packing her car. And the guy rolls down the window. This Brooklyn guy I used to work with driving the truck. And he yells, look at me, don't park there! Lady, look at me, don't park there! And she rolls down the window, and she's just sobbing. I'm like, stop yelling at me. He goes, I'm trying to help you out. Meaning like, if you bark there, you're going to be, then he points to the sign. They're going to tow your car. But the forcefulness of him yelling at her, right. I'm trying to help you out over here. She's doing his job. Yeah. And I said, you know what? Next time I will help people. Look at her. She's a wreck. She can't even drive now. Then he yelled at her, "Why are you crying? Why are you crying?" God, brutal.
Yeah, well, we're not doing that again.
No.
No more accents.
You imitated
your, done.
You imitated your husband.
Okay.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, we don't have time to argue about this.
Oh, no, okay. Mickey was involved in that. Yeah.
What, yes. What did I do?
Bringing you down. Put Mickey down in the book, too, Andrew. Put a mark next to your name. All right. By the way, I was at Safeway today. Man, so many people, only jokes they know are dirty ones. It's really wild. Mm. Still trying to give away, buy people's groceries if they tell a good joke.
Yeah, I didn't know if you were still doing that or not, because you haven't given an update on it. So,
well, it's just
what's going
one,
on?
No one knows any good jokes, and then anybody who does know a joke, they're all blue. I can only do the punchline. You want to hear the punchline?
Yeah. If it's okay.
Yeah, well, after I got my 3 chest compressions and that blood transfusion, I'm feeling a lot better. There's the punchline.
Maybe Andrew needs to do the rim shot.
The fact that women are now naming their babies after themselves. There used to be, like, I'm a junior, John Michael Curley Jr., and my dad never called me John because he didn't want to pick up the phone and have to do the Big John or Little John. Apparently, he hated that so much that he called me by my middle name, Michael, so I'm known as Michael, friends and family, because he didn't want to do, Big John or Little John. That was a big thing back, Big Jim or Little Jim, Big Jack, Little Jack, who's on the phone. Now, I guess women are going to have to face this. Well, nobody actually has a home phone anymore, but... So you would then, if your name is Gloria, you would name your daughter Gloria. And now women are naming their babies after themselves. Huh?
Yeah. Women are deciding that they don't want to just keep their last name, and not take their husband's name. But additionally, they want to make sure that they can pass along their first names to their daughters. And they point out that sometimes what women will do is they'll take their maiden name and give that as a first name to a child. But that's really more of a nod to their father, not to them. So it talks about
what the maiden name would be, like Silverblatt. You'd name the girl's first name would be Silverblatt?
Yeah, like if I had a kid, I'd name it Elliker Jones or whatever, because that's my name. So yeah, if it worked, I mean, you don't have to have the name, but have to be pretty.
Elliker.
Hey, Elliker. Elliker. Little Elliker. Big Elliker. Get over here.
Okay.
But women are uneasy about
your
this.
Your baby doesn't even exist, and I feel sorry for it.
Okay. And women are feeling like this is kind of narcissistic, or it's egotistical, or a little bit awkward or weird to do it, but they point out that men have been doing this for generations and nobody bats an eye. It's not a big deal at all. So it's I guess it's something that is picking up some steam.
Well, you've seemed to always doing baby stories. Do you have something you want to announce? This is the second baby naming story we've done recently. Sherry, is there something you want to say on the air?
I don't think I came up with this one. I think
you wanted to announce that you were having a baby or something like that.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. But I don't think I found the story. I think this may have to go in the book for one of Jacob's stories.
Wow, two in 1 hour. Jeez, not my day.
Going downhill fast.
Right.
Yeah. Parents are still giving their kids super cool names in order to make their kid feel better or to make the parents
special.
Sort of stand out. Yeah, I tried to get away from that by naming Rye after Rye Cooter. And then Rye said to me, "Dad, do you even like Rye Cooter? Have you even heard his music?" I named him Rye because my friend Dick Mallory, who never had kids, I said to him once on the phone, "Hey, we're going to have a baby. If you were to name a child, what would you name your child?" He said Rye, after Rye Cooter. And I so much adored Dick Mallory, my dear friend and mentor, that I said, "You know what? I'll name my kid Rye as a gift to you." As you know, that seems like a fun name. So we did.
And how does Rye feel about it? Does he like his name?
Well,
or
for
does
the
he...
first couple of years, Rye got Christmas presents and birthday presents from Dick. And then that all kind of dried up. So he's just now stuck with this name.
So he's So as long as the gravy train was rolling, it was good. But now it's like, hey, thanks, Dad.
It's a 2-year. Apparently, the gravy train it was on a lease. Like, you can lease those gravy trains.
Yeah, right.
It was a 24-month lease on the gravy train. Came twice, and then it just stopped. I don't know what happened. And I was like, you know, you figured you name a kid after somebody who wants them to name the kid. You know, it would be for a lifetime that the stuff would keep rolling in.
Commitment. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you never thought John Michael Curley III?
No.
I think everybody should have a unique name. I think it should be something different, not passing it on. It's kind of been there, done that.
Okay, so it's like one of those things you take a picture of a thing for with your phone. Mm-hmm. It should be so unique, everybody's name should know it should have the exact same name.
Yeah, like a snowflake.
Like a password.
Yeah.
It has to have at least two capital letters and a symbol.
Right.
Is it bad that my... Huh? I was going to say, is it bad that my kids are named after bartenders? All right, I guess
so. No, it's fine, Mickey.
No,
it's great. No problem.
Perfectly
not
normal.
At all. It's really
that's
good.
Great.
It's okay.
That's great.
Everybody's
that's
great.
Okay.
Not a red flag.
Okay.